right. We're very thankful. Brother Ben Radford will be our speaker. His first time on our call. Brother Radford is going to speak tonight on the topic, you must work out your own salvation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Brother Radford serves for Poinsana Church of Christ there in Florida. He's been preaching over 30 years. He's a graduate of the Florida School of Preaching in 1998, graduated from there, been in foreign missionary campaign to Jamaica, and is active in gospel meetings and lectureship. We're so thankful to have him on our call first time, so that we'll ask you tonight, give your ear to my friend, my brother in Christ, Brother Ben Radford. Brother Ben, let us hear what you got to say about you must work out your own salvation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, where his launch text is. Brother Ben.
Good evening, and I would like to give you thanks, Brother Brooks, for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God in this fashion. Again, as been stated, I'm Brother Ben Radford, Sr. I'm the minister for the Poinsana Church of Christ in Poinsana, Florida. And as been stated, I hope tonight that everyone under the sound of my voice will be as the Bereans and search the scriptures to see the things that I'm going to say tonight, whether there be so. Our passage for tonight, again, is Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, where the Apostle Paul says to those of the church in Philippi, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the reality that every man and woman must face in their lives if they hope to spend eternity with God in heaven. I would like to use this passage as a springboard to show us that it is each person's own responsibility to work out their salvation. No one else can do it for us. Therefore, we should not put our trust in others with this decision. Obeying God is the most important decision that a person will ever make in their lives. Each of us should be concerned with what God says in the Bible about our salvation. In the book of Matthew, the chapter 15 and the verses 9, Jesus lets us know that we cannot be saved by the doctrine and the commandments of men. He says it in this way, though, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. In order to be in a position to work out your salvation, one must first obey the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, Paul would say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Obedience to the gospel is necessary because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. Paul would say that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3. And verse 10. He further would say that the wages or the penalty of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. You see, our sin separates us from God because sin is a transgression of God's law. Isaiah chapter 59 and the verses 1 and 2. Isaiah would record these words. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, John says, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And so we can see the biggest problem that mankind has today is sin, because it's sin that separates us from God, and it's sin that will cause us to lose our soul eternally. But God loves us. He loves us so much that he doesn't want any of us to perish. In the book of 2 Peter, the chapter 3 and the verses 9, Peter would record these words: "The Lord is not slight concerning his promise, as some men count slightness, but is long-suffering to us war, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And it's because of that love that God has provided a way for us to be forgiven. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Most people love to go to this particular passage because it tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sin and for your sin. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, John would say, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That word propitiation there means satisfaction. God loved us that much that he sent Christ to be the satisfaction for our sin. It is important for us to understand that Jesus suffered the punishment of a criminal because of our sin. Let that sink for a minute. In the book of Isaiah, the chapter is 53, and the verses are 4 to 6. Isaiah records this for us. He says, "Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus, again, suffered the punishment of a criminal because of my sin and your sin. He did not die for his own sin. He didn't die for his own sin because he didn't have any. In the book of Hebrews, the chapter is 4 and the verse is 15, the Hebrew writer says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Paul further reiterated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. He says, "For he have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Again, he suffered for our sins on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Peter further reiterated in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. Peter says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." In order for us to be forgiven of our sins, we must accept the plan that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Paul pens these words: "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." You see, this plan of salvation is objective, meaning that it applies to everybody in the whole world. It's for everyone, the Jew first, and also the Greek, Romans 1 and 16. But to obey this plan, one must first hear about it. Hear about what? Must hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Everybody must believe in Jesus Christ for himself. You see, Christianity is a religion of teaching. Matthew chapter 28 and the verses are 19 to 20. Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You see, brothers and sisters, family and friends, the only way a person can be saved is by hearing the gospel and learning that Jesus Christ died for his sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He would say, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In the book of Romans, the chapter is 10 and the verse is 14. The apostle Paul wrote, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Thus it follows that a person must first hear the gospel before he can believe it. However, hearing is not enough, because belief is also necessary. In order for a person to be saved, a person must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Also, in the book of John, the chapter 8 and the verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. You see, faith comes only by hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. This is the reason it is so important that the gospel be preached to the whole world, Mark 16. 15 to 16. Jesus will say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You see, a person can't believe what he has not heard. Obedience to the gospel must be taught. Jesus said in John the chapter 6 and the verses 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. You see, when the gospel is taught, it helps a person to believe in Jesus the Christ. However, hearing and believing is not enough. A person must repent of his sin in order to be saved. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. The Bible says, for these times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Jesus commanded that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47. Thus on the day of Pentecost, they were assembled at Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 5. And when the Jews learned from Peter that they had crucified the Son of God, the Bible says that they were cut to heart, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37. They wanted to be forgiven of their sins, so they asked, what shall we do? And the first thing that came out of Peter's mouth was to repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. You see, when one repents, he turns away from his sin, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9. He shows he has repented by bringing forth fruit meet for repentance, Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 8.
So thus far, we have learned that hearing is necessary, believing is necessary, repenting is necessary, but also confessing is necessary. Yes, one must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16 and verse number 16. Jesus said that we must be willing to confess him before men if we want him to confess us before the Father, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 to 33. In the book of Romans, the chapter is 10, and the verses are 8 through 10. The Apostle Paul wrote, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with the mouth Jesus as the Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." In the book of Acts, the chapter is 8, and the verses 35 to 38, we see Philip when he preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch asked, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip told him, if he believed with all his heart, he could be baptized. The eunuch then confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, a person must make this important confession if he wants to be saved. However, there's another step a person must take in order to be saved. He must be baptized in order to be saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:15-16. Notice now that baptism follows belief and repentance. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told those who asked what to do to be saved to repent and be baptized, every one of you, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You see, a person cannot be truly baptized who has not truly repented. See, you can go down in the water, dry, and come up wet, but if you have not truly repented, that baptism doesn't do you any good. A person who does not believe the gospel cannot be truly baptized. Therefore, this would exclude babies. Babies cannot truly be baptized because, number one, they're too young to have sin. Number two, they're too young to hear and obey the gospel. Number three, they're too young to repent of sins and confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. Upon obeying the aforementioned truths, the Lord adds you to the truth, to the church, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. Now that you're in the saved state, here is where your work really must begin. You must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If we are to have the hope of reaching heaven, we must look to the word of God to learn the way of salvation, Romans 10 and verse 17. As we have examined the scriptures tonight, I want to reemphasize the personal responsibility that each of us have regarding our salvation. Each of us have the responsibility of diligently seeking the truth and obeying in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Each of us have the personal responsibility of responding properly to the truth of God's word, John 8 and verse 32. Jesus put emphasis here that we should know the truth, and it's the truth that makes us free. But not only that, we have the responsibility of remaining faithful to and in the truth. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life." In our text tonight, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, based upon the exemplary humility of Jesus, which was expressed in his obedience in verses 5 to 8, Paul would now say to these Christians, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I want you to notice the responsibility to work out our own salvation is laid upon each of us. Now, sometimes this is tough because there is so much ignorance and false doctrine being taught in the world. There are some who misunderstand what the Bible teaches about works and salvation. They don't want the words work and salvation to be mentioned in the same sentence. However, listen to what the Bible just said to these Christians at Philippi. Work out your own salvation. Well, how do I do that? Paul just told you. He says, obey. Just like Jesus was humble and obeyed, we must be clothed with humility and be willing to obey. Though I cannot earn my salvation is conditioned upon my willingness to obey the one who offers it to me. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verses of 8 and 9. The Hebrew writer would say, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Wherefore, just as Jesus' humility led him to become obedient to death, our obedience to Jesus will lead to our salvation from spiritual death, Romans 6 and verse number 23. These Christians needed to be just as faithful in Paul's absence as they were while he was with them. Thus, he encourages them to continue to work out their salvation, to carry it out to the very end. They could lose it if they're not careful. We could lose ours if we have obeyed the gospel. If we are not careful, we got to understand that there is a doctrine out there that declares once saved, you're always saved. And I want you to understand that this is false and damnable doctrine in the book of 1 Corinthians, the chapters 10 and the verses 12. The Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Indeed, there exists a vital need for our obedience to God. Yes, Christ offers the gift of salvation, but man has to do something in order to benefit from it. He can only obtain it by obedience and not by faith alone. You see, the only kind of faith that saves is an obedient faith. In the book of James, the chapters 2 and the verses 24, James says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. In James chapter 2 and the verses of 18 and 19, James would say, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. Thus, that passage also teaches us that it is absolutely impossible for us to be saved simply by faith alone, because the devil has faith, but he trembles and he won't obey. You see, Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation. I can't be saved for you, and you can't be saved for me. It is something that I must personally do. Paul says as we work, we ought to work with fear and trembling. It has been said here that fear and trembling means earnest anxiety and caution. It is a type of caution that doesn't allow us to trust in ourselves to carry out all of God's requirements. We must be like Jeremiah. We must recognize our need for God's help, but also at the same time, we have to do all we possibly can to fulfill our duty. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. God loved us so much that he did his part. The means of how one can be saved has been made available to us. With the time that I've had tonight, I've tried to impress upon our heart that we just have to follow God's instruction. He wants us to hear his word, Romans 10:17. He wants us to believe it, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. He wants us to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. He wants us to confess with the mouth, Romans 10:9-10. He wants us to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and that for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. And then he would take us and he would add us into the ark of safety, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of God, I want to encourage you to do it tonight. You've heard the word. Do you believe it? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Confess with the mouth Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Go down in the water grave of baptism, and that for the remission of your sin. I want to encourage you that if you have not done that, go find a faithful congregation, a faithful man of God that preaches and teaches the message of God, and put Christ on in baptism. Don't put off today, for tomorrow might be too late. When this life is over and we stand before God, all of us will answer for ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what he's done in his body, whether it's been good or evil." At that day, it won't matter what our spouse did. It won't matter what our neighbor did. It won't matter what our parents did. It won't matter what our children did. The only thing that will matter is what we have done. The lesson is yours. And I pray to God that I've said something to help somebody tonight. And if I have, please act upon it with efficacy. God bless you and thank you for your attention.